Hello and welcome to episode 547 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan. It is, of course, time for the weekly show you cannot live without, Market Monday. Yes, that's right. Each Monday, I go over the biggest risers and fallers in average draft position, aka ADP, from the previous 7 days, discuss whether I'm buying or selling these players at their new prices. The idea, of course, is to get you up to speed very quickly on what's happening in the best ball market. We normally start this show much closer to peak draft season, around June or so, but the virginity out there is just out of control. So much action in the best ball streets already as we sit here in mid-April. So each Monday on the show, I will get you up to speed what you need to know about ADP movement. Before we get into it, reminder that if you are the type of person listening to a Fantasy Football Market Update podcast right now on April 17th, well, you should be putting your knowledge to work at underdogfantasy.com. Promo code ETR will get you up to $100 in free entries. They have massive best ball contests up already. They have Pick'em. Big action. Promo code ETR. $100 in entries at underdogfantasy.com. All right, let's begin with the biggest risers from the last 7 days. Number one is Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham is up 16.6 spots. Now the wide receiver 47 on Underdog, going around 130th overall in the Superflex draft. So I was honestly pretty stunned by the contract that Odell Beckham landed last week. 1 year deal from the Ravens, $13.8 million guaranteed. This is for a wide receiver who will turn 31 in November, has two ACL tears in the last 3 years, hasn't played a full season since 2019. And during that year with the Browns, he was, you know, meh at best. He was 55th among 102 wideouts in PFF's grades. I mean, $13.8 million for 1 year guaranteed, it's a lot. The Ravens clearly think he has gas left. I'm not so convinced. But let's play this out. I think the Lamar Jackson deal with the Ravens will get done in some form, especially now that the Jalen Hurts deal is done. You know, the Hurts deal just gives the Lamar Jackson Ravens saga some reasonable framework to work from. And I also do think that with Todd Monken taking over for Greg Roman in Baltimore, we will see a far more pass-centric offense. But Lamar and the Ravens are never going to be a 4,500-plus yard passing team. And I also think that Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman are better players than Odell at this point. So yes, you know, give me Bateman over Odell. And by the way, Bateman's ADP is down 16 spots since the Odell signing. You know, give me Bateman over Odell at roughly the same cost. And also, once the Lamar thing gets sorted out, I'm sure Mark Andrews' ADP is going to bump up a bit. So there's some closing line value, some CLV there on Mark Andrews as well to be had in Baltimore. Second riser is Richie James. Richie James is up 13.2 spots to 206th overall on Underdog. So Chiefs wide receiver room is pretty barren. They let Mecole Hardman walk. They let Juju Smith-Schuster walk. We're talking about Sky Moore, who could barely get on the field as a rookie. MVS, who, God, you know, not that good at football, and Kadarius Toney, all kinds of issues of his own. Those are the top three wide receivers for a team which led the NFL in pass rate over expectation last year and was fifth in raw attempts. So I get that there's excitement anytime that the Chiefs add a wide receiver. And I actually do think Richie James can play a little bit, or at least better than public perception. Yeah, he's only 5'9", 185, but he did a good job earning targets for the Giants last year. Thought he showed some juice in San Francisco as well. Given Kadarius Toney's history of injuries and off-field issues, given Sky Moore's uninspiring rookie year, I don't think it's crazy to think that Richie James is going to earn a real role here. Certainly some risk, as only $500,000 of his contract is guaranteed. You know, Richie James is not a lock to make the Chiefs' final roster. And the Chiefs can slash should address wide receiver in the draft. But in that 200th overall range where Richie James is going, I like taking shots on him there. All it will take is one Chiefs beat writer to tweet that Richie James is running as the starting slot in one practice for his ADP to just go absolutely nuke. Third riser is Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid is up 17 spots on FFPC into the 138th overall range. So draft capital is, of course, a huge thing for rookies and their expected production. And if you've been paying attention to the NFL draft prop market, specifically the tight end ones, you'll see Dalton Kincaid really gaining some steam. As of Monday, Dalton Kincaid was minus 210 to be the first tight end off the board. Michael Mayer, the second choice, way back at plus 170. Kincaid is also a pure pass catcher, played the F spot for Utah. And given the lack of wide receiver talent in this draft, teams looking for pass catching help could easily take Kincaid in round one. Like, what if he goes to the Chargers at 21st overall or something like that? I mean, this guy can clearly catch the football. 70 catches last year, 890 yards, 8 touchdowns for Utah. I would note that FFPC is tight end premium, you know, 1.5 points for a tight end reception. So I get why Kincaid's stock is rising big time over there. Generally, I try to tread really lightly on rookie tight ends in fantasy. It's just so rare that they are a big hit. Kincaid, though, might be an outlier given this expected draft capital and his pass catching profile. So I'm really tempted here. I'm going to try to stop myself from going too nuts if he gains too much more steam. Let's get to the fallers. First one I want to talk about is Michael Pittman. He's down 3.9 spots on Underdog to wide receiver 30. Again, 30. I mean, he's been sinking massively, Michael Pittman has, in these Underdog Superflex drafts. Can get him around 82nd overall. And I get that the QB situation looks rough. The offensive environment does not look great. We don't know if maybe they get Anthony Richardson or Will Levis or what. Right now they have Gardner Minshew, Nick Foles, Sam Ellinger. But man, the wide receiver position in the NFL, you can win when you have talent and opportunity and kind of close your eyes on the rest. Pittman has such little competition for targets. He's a good player, certainly not great, but a good player. Our rankings were currently about a round ahead of market on Pittman, and I like being there on him. Just close your eyes, bet on talent, bet on role at the wide receiver position. I think Michael Pittman at wide receiver 30 is a buy. Kyler Murray is down 9.2 spots. He's now the QB 19 on Underdog ADP. Of course, Kyler blew out his left ACL and meniscus late last season, week 14, underwent surgery on January 3. A lot's changed since then. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury's gone. Jonathan Gannon and Drew Petzking are in. DeAndre Hopkins is the rumors of trade. But really, the question is simply, when will Kyler be ready to play? And when he does play, will he be the same runner with the football? Obviously, no one knows for sure, not even the Cardinals. There's been speculation I've seen that Kyler will be ready for week one. I've also seen speculation that he'll sit out for the first half of the year to ensure that he's 100%, come back for the second half. We know that ACL tears aren't the death blow that they used to be. But I mean, my take here is that we need to ensure and be certain that the health risk is commensurate with the upside that we get. And I think at this draft position, you know, where he's going, QB 19, we're starting to get there. In other words, if I spend a pretty premium pick on Kyler Murray, he's currently going 47th overall in Superflex, I better be sure that when he gets back on the field, he's at least as good as he was before. And, I'm not sure he will be, to be honest. This team is a mess. This organization is a mess. They could be losing DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe we can't count on the running spikes given the injury to Kyler. So I agree with the market coming down on Kyler. I fear the news here is going to get worse before better. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, you know, it's J.K. Dobbins. Yeah, he has a bad knee, but he's a running back. Let's just get him out there, see what happens. You can't do that with your franchise quarterback. So I'd be treading pretty lightly. Team could be really bad. And I mean, at that point, let's say they're like, you know, 1-6 or something. How much does Kyler push to get back? Does that make sense? So certainly a lot of risk with Kyler. I want to be paying a price where I get paid off a lot on that risk. Final faller I'm going to talk about is Rashad White. Rashad White is down 8 spots to 75th overall. Certainly was not the best rookie year for Rashad White. You know, the good news was he stayed healthy for 17 games, here in significant playing time for a playoff team. Bad news is that Bucs' run game was completely broken. I mean, Lenny was atrocious. Rashad White's underlying stats were atrocious. And honestly, even in the pass game, the Bucs' pass game, it was just so condensed around the line of scrimmage. White's longest run, he had 129 carries as a rookie. His longest run was 20 yards. Did that once. His next longest run was just 12 yards. 53rd out of 60 qualifying running backs in Pro Football Focus's grades was Rashad White last year. And this team also, barring a surprise, I mean, Rashad White's quarterbacks are going to be Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask. Like, this team should be tanking. Now, all that said, Rashad White is a running back who is good in the pass game, has significant draft capital behind him, showed as a rookie he can handle 10 to 13 carries per game. It's not the classic profile of a dead zone running back. The bottom line is that his ADP is going to rise or fall sharply following the draft. If the Bucs draft a running back and where they take one is going to have a huge impact. But I think the likeliest scenario, and I know there's a lot of rumors about them and Bijan and all kinds of other running backs, I think the likeliest scenario is that they don't take a running back until, I don't know, round five or round six of the draft. And at that point, I think the Rashad White fantasy stock is going to bounce into that dead zone range. When it does that, I'd be okay passing. But for now, I think there's some CLV to be had in Rashad White. Right now they have Chase Edmonds behind him, and I think they'll add some late round quarterback. But if they add an early round quarterback, you know, you're going to lose CLV on Rashad White. So certainly something to consider there. All right. That is going to do it for another Market Monday. It is a 4-episode week on the podcast. Be sure to hit the subscribe button on iTunes or YouTube. Be sure you don't miss out on our upcoming shows. Looking forward to talking to Lance Zierlein about some of these NFL draft rumors tomorrow, Tuesday, and then Thursday with Anthony Amico for NFL Draft Props Part 2. For producer Luke. For our king editor, Jackson Kane. I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.